All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today I am giving you my scouting report of the Falcons 2021 fifth round pick out of Texas, defensive lineman Taquan Graham.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman. Been covering the Falcons for basically two decades, formerly at FalcFans.com, but still going strong, however, on Twitter at FalcFans. Rest in peace to the website. And, of course, hosting this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And today's episode, we are getting into the last few players, just four more players left of this 2021 draft class, where I have now sat down and finished watching the film of Taquan Graham, the defensive lineman that the Falcons took at the top of round five out of Texas. And I'll give you my thoughts on his, sort of his strengths, his weaknesses, and his NFL potential, and sort of what role he will be having here in Atlanta. And before we get into that, I do want to plug the Peacock and Williamson podcast, one of the national shows here on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get insight on every team, every move, every game from NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson. Find the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So I've been calling him Taquan, but apparently, based off of the various pronunciation guides I have been able to find online, it is actually Taquan. So I will try my best to correct that moving forward. And maybe, you know, to make it easier on myself, I will try to shorten it to TQ, which I know is a nickname he has been referred to, but that's too close to DQ. So we'll see how we figure it out. But Taquan Graham was a two-year starter out of Texas, a captain this past year. As a junior, he played more of a five technique defensive end role in their defense, and this past year was playing more inside as a three technique defensive tackle. And so he has that versatility to play multiple techniques, multiple roles in the multiple front looks that Falcons defensive coordinator Dean Pease intends to play. And for those that need a quick refresher on what those techniques are, odd number techniques correspond to a defensive lineman lining up over the outside shoulder of their various offensive linemen. So a one technique lines up over the center's outside shoulder in the A gap. The three technique lines up over the outside shoulder of the guard in the B gap. And the five technique lines up over the outside shoulder of the tackle in the C technique. So you can see how it goes A, B, and C. The further you get away from the ball, just like it goes one, two, and three. Or 1-3-5 for the different techniques. And then the even techniques correspond to lining up directly over the offensive lineman. So a zero technique lines up directly over the center, a two technique over the guard, a four technique over the tackle. So Graham played a variety of techniques at Texas, and I suspect he'll probably spend the bulk of his time in Atlanta playing more of a 3-4-5. This goes back to something I've discussed in the past a bunch in terms of the hybridization of fronts currently in the NFL. In a pure 3-4, the defensive end typically plays more of a 4 or 5 technique. In a pure 4-3, the defensive tackle will play typically a 1, 2, or 3 technique. But in today's NFL, you're going to ask guys to play multiple roles in those multiple fronts, and you're going to switch between those various techniques all the time. So a sort of classic three technique is Grady Jarrett. That tends to be the player that you want to have that sort of penetrating ability, that pass rush ability. Graham doesn't really have that type of ability, but we'll probably see him play plenty of three tech, but it'll be primarily more as a run defender. Graham's style is much more of the classic five technique that you would find in the traditional 3-4 because he's more of a stack and shed defender. He'll use his power to get leverage against the offensive line, holding the point of attack while reading what's going on in the backfield, i.e. stacking. And then he'll disengage, i.e. shedding, to try and make the play. And that's sort of the classic way that 3-4 defensive ends would play. And Graham is best suited for that type of role than necessarily being this big time penetrator. But he certainly has the athleticism to be more disruptive than he typically plays. He tested very well at his pro day, measuring in at 6'3", 292 pounds. He ran a 4.8940, which is 90th percentile for defensive tackles. His jumps were in the 80th plus percentile, the 84th percentile for a three cone, and his bench press of 32 reps was also very impressive. The main reason why it was impressive is just because of how long Taquan Graham is. That is probably his most impressive trait, those 35-inch arms, which is 93rd percentile for all defensive linemen, D tackles, and edge rushers included, and nearly having a 7-foot wingspan. And he's sort of built like the classic two-gapping 3-4 defensive end, two-gapping referring to when a player is asked to man two different gaps, which is the case of the traditional 3-4, usually the B and C gaps. And that's why you want to sort of have that stack and shed defender, as I described earlier, that can maintain his block and read what's going on in the backfield. But getting back to that bench press, in my opinion, it's probably the least informative of your typical combine metrics. Usually it's just indicative of who's been hitting the weight room versus who hasn't. And typically longer arm guys like Graham, it's harder for them to put up 225 pound reps as much as players that have those shorter arms, because the longer arm, you have to get, the reps only count if you get full extension. And so the longer your arms are, the more extension you have to get and the more taxing it can be on you. And so typically the guys that put up a lot of reps in the bench press, 30 plus, typically also often correspond with guys that tend to have shorter arms. And, you know, a mistake a lot of amateur evaluators tend to make is they look at a player's bench press as sort of representative of a player's strength. And you have to understand that sort of dynamic of, you know, arm length and whatnot, and how it plays into those things. And so I do think in Graham's case, the 32 reps is representative of his sort of strength, is indicative of that, because you see that actually reflected on the film. He is certainly a very powerful player, and coupled with his length, I think that's going to be the sort of foundation for any future success he has in the pros with those sort of heavy hands, as they call them. So with that being said, let's sort of explore Taquan Graham's strengths and weaknesses and learn if he will have that success in the NFL, or how much success he will have in the NFL, by looking at both his ability as a run defender as well as his potential as a pass rusher. But before we get into that, guys, I will plug the NBA side of the Lockdown Podcast Network, where you can find a daily podcast devoted to your favorite NBA team, including the Atlanta Hawks. Check out the Locked On Hawks podcast, hosted by Brad Rowland, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. They give you the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. There's no time like the month of June to get started at BetOnline. You have the ongoing NHL and NBA playoffs. The French Open is nearing its end. And of course, baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. And it's not just sports. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Just head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus, meaning if you deposit $200, you'll get $100 in free money to play with that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So Taquan Graham is a much better run defender than pass rusher at this point in his career. As I said earlier, he's not necessarily a big time disruptor in terms of making plays in the backfield. You're not going to necessarily ask him to pin his ears back and get a bunch of tackles for loss like you would ask for someone like a Grady Jarrett or even a Jack Crawford. We'll get more into Graham's disruptive potential as a pass rusher later on, but that's not going to be where his bread is buttered in the pros, at least not initially. And again, he's more of a hold the point of attack type of player. Even on the plays when he did get penetration, he tended to struggle to make the plays because he doesn't necessarily have that closing burst to finish plays. And, you know, you look at his stats and he had 17.5 tackles for loss combined over the last 2 years at Texas, which isn't a low number. But from my film study, a lot of that was basically him using his power, those heavy hands, to sort of knock back the blocker, reset the line of scrimmage. And then when the runner tried to run through the gap adjacent to him, he would just basically wrap the guy up for a modest loss of yards. And that certainly is valuable, and again, show you Graham's ability as a stack and shed defender. But the point is that he's not going to be a guy that's going to be living in the backfield like we're used to seeing with guys like Jarrett or Jack Crawford in 2018, or the incomparable Jonathan Babineau back during his heyday. And Graham's potential to be disruptive is more on par, more comparable to a Falcon like, say, Tyler Davidson, who can collapse things and make the occasional play. You know, Davidson, I think, is a good comparison for what I think Graham will contribute and how he'll contribute in the run game. You're not watching games typically and you see a bunch of sort of splash plays where Tyler Davidson is dominating, you know, but he'll hold the point of attack. He'll clog the run lanes somewhat, and occasionally he'll make a play. And Graham is going to be more of that sort of complementary player like Davidson, that's more of a cog in the machine that enhances your overall unit, but probably is not going to be the guy that's going to make a ton of splash plays. The one knock on Graham as a run defender is that he's not great at taking on double teams. Right, he's obviously, for most human beings, 290 pounds is massive, but for defensive tackles in the NFL, it's on the smaller side of things. And I do think he probably could or would benefit in that arena to bulk up, and you know, certainly has the frame to support another 10 or 20 pounds pretty easily. But you do wonder if he were to add on that extra muscle and that extra bulk, would it sort of lower his effectiveness as a pass rusher? And I think it probably would, which leads us into the conversation about his pass rushing upside. You know, Graham's development there is pretty raw. You know, he's got the tools to get better and to develop there, but it's going to take some time and take some development. Given his get off and his first step quickness, I think it's good. And you couple that with his length and his power, again, those are the tools that you want to have. Those are the tools that could turn into something. But because he's sort of coming into the league with very little refinement, and history has taught me over the years of evaluating players that it takes the better part of several years for players with Graham's relatively low level of refinement to develop. So I wouldn't expect Graham to be much more than a two-down defender until much later in his career, 3, 4 or more years down the road. It goes back to players that I've talked about in the past that are similar in John Kaminsky and Rashid Hageman, both guys that had tools but were very raw coming into the NFL. Like those two, Graham tends to rely heavily on his raw power and effort to win in passing situations rather than showing any sort of defined or refined developed pass rush moves. You know, I read an interview that where they asked him what was his favorite pass rush move, and he said basically the stab move. And for those that are the uninitiated, you know, that's a similar move to the long arm move where a defender uses his arm in one arm to sort of to extend into the blocker's chest. And the difference between a long arm and a stab is, you know, long arm is more of a pure power move where you use that one arm to drive the blocker backwards. And the stab is more of an initial way to create contact and create distance. And then players usually try to build another move, a secondary move off of that, often a rip move or a club or chop move or occasionally a swim move as well. So I think Graham definitely has the potential to use that move as a foundation, given his length, for future pass rush ability. But watching the film, you just rarely saw him successfully implement it to be a reliable pass rusher, at least at the collegiate level. And obviously the uptick in competition at the NFL level will make that a little bit harder for him to make that transition, at least immediately. But with development, you could see that. But really the issue is, like, he just doesn't really rush with a plan. He's just out there trying to win with effort and whatnot. And most of his wins came off of effort or came off of scheme. And by scheme, I mean sort of stunts where the opposing offensive lineman would fail to make the adjustment and that would allow him to come free on those stunts. But it wasn't necessarily instances where you consistently saw him beating linemen with pass rush moves to win that way. You know, I think he did wind up, you know, he played in the Senior Bowl. I think he did wind up having a quarterback hit and maybe even a sack in the actual game. But at least in the handful of one-on-one reps that I was able to see from the previous week of practice, he didn't look overly impressive. And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that he didn't really have that sort of defined or developed plan of attack as a pass rusher. You know, in the games I watched on film, he would try to utilize his power, and it certainly has the power, that heavy hands that we're talking about, to shock back the offensive lineman. But he also had a tendency to not have ideal hand placement. He would put his hands a little too high on the blocker's pad, and that would prevent him from consistently being able to maximize his power. So when you're bull rushing, you ideally want to get your hands into that blocker's chest. But there were just too many reps I saw and I noticed where Graham would have his hands either on the top of the blocker's shoulders on the shoulder pads, or there was a couple of reps even in Oklahoma State, if I recall correctly, where he had his like hands up by the offensive lineman's helmet in his ear hole, which is not where you want to be. And so that just illustrates the point I'm trying to make, where you see the tools, they exist. You just got to teach him. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's fully from scratch, but, you know, it's a low level ability. And I compare that to Hageman. I compare that to Kaminsky, because Hageman, when he came to Atlanta, was a very, very raw player, but had the tools. And even it took him after 3 years, he never really truly developed technique after 3 years, but we did see an uptick in his pass rush ability in that third year in Atlanta, where he just basically figured out, wait, I'm bigger and stronger than everybody I'm facing, so I can just bully them. And it took him the better part of 3 years to figure that out. And you see a similar situation with Kaminsky, who is a player that similarly won with, you know, pure physical skills at the Division II level. But in the NFL, until he really developed moves, and we're now 2 years into his career, and while we've seen flashes of Kaminsky, he's primarily relying, again, on effort and power to win. And hopefully now in year three, we will see him sort of really develop a move and see that sort of come together for him. And so I think it would be a similar timeline for Graham in probably your better case scenario. So while I think he's a bit of a project as a pass rusher, he's not going to be so much of a project as a player, because he can obviously contribute early on, particularly in the back end of a rotation as a run defender for those first couple of years as he develops and hopefully develops as a pass rusher. So that will give him ways to be a valuable contributor as we sort of wait and see if he figures out how to do things as a pass rusher. But ultimately, I think his longevity in the league and in Atlanta will, and whether he's going to last beyond, say, his rookie contract, will depend heavily on how much development he does do as a pass rusher. Because in the NFL, at least by NFL standards, run defenders are often treated as a dime a dozen. And that leads us to the part where we project Graham's NFL future by looking at his floor, i.e. his starting point entering the NFL, his ceiling, which is the best case scenario for where he could eventually develop into and end up in the NFL, and his eye level, which is a halfway point between the two, and the more probable outcome of what he will become in the NFL. And we'll get into that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons podcast. But, you know, considering his great power and strength, I'm sure Taquan Graham is not lacking for protein. But if you're out there looking for ways to incorporate protein in your diet and not wanting to sacrifice on taste, you should check out Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. There are 9 delicious flavors. I'm a big fan of the coconut almond, but maybe you prefer the mint brownie, the cookies and cream, cherry barcia, salted caramel, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, coconut, or raspberry. There's something for everyone. You can try them all with a mixed box, getting 2 each of all 9 flavors. And Built Bars taste just like a candy bar. They're soft and easy to chew. They contain 100% real chocolate, and the coconut almond, my favorite, tastes just like an Almond Joy. But it's not just about the taste. They're very healthy too. They're low in sugar, low in calories, high in protein, high in fiber. I like using them as low calorie meal replacements for breakfast and lunch. You can use them to give yourself that energy boost you need pre or post workout as you work your way into that summer beach body now that quarantine has been lifted. Use Built Bars however you want. Just head over to builtbar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. So starting out with Taquan Graham's floor, where I think he immediately can be this type of player, and comparing him to a past or current NFL player, and all these guys are at least played in 2020 that I'm going to compare him to. My floor for Taquan Graham is Carl Davis. And Davis was a former third round pick out of Iowa back in 2015 with the Baltimore Ravens. Now, Davis was much bigger than Graham was. He was 320 pounds coming out, so he was much stouter at the point of attack and was often viewed more as a nose tackle type than a sort of 3-4 defensive end. And he played both defensive end and nose tackle during his days playing under Dean Pease in Baltimore early in his career. But Davis never really truly developed in Baltimore and lived up to that draft status. Some of that is owed to the injuries costing him the entirety of his second NFL season back in 2016. But he did come back pretty strong in 2017. Proving himself to be a pretty stout run defender when he was forced to play due to an injury to Brandon Williams. But the following year, the Ravens moved on from him, cut him. And ever since, he's been basically a back end of the roster guy, a type of player that often gets picked up midseason as a journeyman player when teams have injuries, but has not been able to stick on any team these last 3 years. and sort of bounced around the NFL. And like that to me is kind of the player that I could see Graham at least starting out with if he gets no development from here on. Like Davis, if he's forced to play extended reps in his first few NFL seasons, I think he'll be a semi-productive run defender, but he's going to bring very minimal value as a pass rusher. Davis, across five NFL seasons playing in 39 games, has only 0.5 sacks and one quarterback hit in his NFL career. But, you know, I think that player is still a solid backup for the first few years, but eventually, like Davis, could prove expendable because, again, run defenders are considered a dime a dozen by NFL teams, and eventually teams are going to be looking for guys that have more pass rush upside, and they will eventually move on. And like Davis, you know, who was not a particularly productive pass rusher in college at Iowa, but possessed some of the raw tools given his size and athleticism that people thought that could develop at the next level. Graham is a similar player that while there may be flashes, there's no guarantee that he'll really develop as a pass rusher, and certainly no guarantee that he'll develop at a quick enough rate to warrant the Falcons to continue to invest resources in him or any other NFL team. So that moves us to sort of the opposite end of the spectrum, which is Graham's ceiling and sort of what's the best case scenario. And the player I came up with was Alan Bailey. Obviously, Falcon fans, you, of course, are familiar with Bailey's final days in the NFL, playing these past 2 years in Atlanta. Maybe he's not done, but based off of his performance the last 2 years in Atlanta, I would be doubtful that another team is going to scoop him up. And so his playing career is probably over at this point in time, but he was able to put together a decade long career. And that started out as a third round pick out of Miami with the Chiefs back in 2011. And he was an athletic 285 pound tweener, in terms of being a defensive end / defensive tackle when he came out. And, you know, that was called a tweener, meaning that they is between two spots, because back in 2011, you didn't have nearly as much hybridization in the NFL as you do nowadays. And now that's kind of the norm and much more idealized. So you don't call those guys tweeners. You call them versatile in today's hybrid NFL. But, you know, Bailey came into the league with much more pass rush production than Graham did. And certainly that was probably the most intriguing aspect of Bailey's game, that upside as a pass rusher, given his size and his athleticism. And so he did begin his career as an NFL situational pass rusher. And then was a rotational player early on, but then by the end of his rookie contract was the full-time starter for the Chiefs at one of those defensive end spots in their 3-4 defense under Andy Reid, and then wound up starting the bulk of 5 years in Kansas City from 2014 and through 2018. And Bailey never really made his living as a true run defender, but he was a solid three down player that was never ever a dominant pass rusher, but at his peak was able to contribute 4 to 6 sacks a year. And while I think Graham is certainly going to have more positive contributions as a run defender early on and throughout his career than Bailey did, I do think if he does eventually develop into a capable pass rusher, it will be a player very similar to Alan Bailey. And so that's where the comparison comes from. Bailey was versatile enough to be able to play, you know, 5-technique, 3-technique, you know, across that Chiefs defensive front when they were deploying that 3-4 defense, and ultimately move more to a hybrid front as things move forward, as most teams do. And with his length and quickness, I think if it does click for Graham as a pass rusher, he profiles very similar to what Bailey was in the prime of his career as a capable starter for the Chiefs. And during those years, Bailey was never really a guy that you would call a core piece of the Chiefs defense, but certainly a guy that was a solid to good role player and a complimentary starter and a capable contributor. And I think Graham's ceiling is probably at best, when you factor in him as a pass rusher, he's probably the fourth option for you in terms of his ceiling, a guy that can consistently collapse the pocket. And if you can sort of team him up with two good edge rushers that can sort of force the quarterback to step up in the pocket, Graham's ability to collapse it and not give that quarterback room to step up will make for a pretty complimentary unit. And that's kind of what Jack Crawford was, another former Falcon, in terms of what we saw out of Crawford in 2018 when he was the fourth guy in that pass rush rotation. Unfortunately, the Falcons didn't quite have the level of edge pressure that we're talking about to really maximize Crawford's sort of disruptive abilities. But if you have, like, as we did with then, a Grady Jarrett type lining up beside him, And then you have two capable edge rushers. You can definitely get away with Graham being sort of your fourth guy, but he may not be ideal in that. And you look at Alan Bailey's best years. He was playing with guys like Don Terry Poe and Chris Jones being that sort of second interior guy. And then you had at their peak, Justin Houston and Tamba Hali being those edge guys that could give you that complimentary pass rush that would allow Alan Bailey to be maximized in that way. And, you know, Bailey didn't do the heavy lifting during those years. And I think Graham could similarly do have a similar role in a similar and reach a similar level. But it's not a player that's going to necessarily move the needle for you. So where does that leave Graham's eye level, right? That halfway between the floor and the ceiling, where your eyes are at, where you really sort of realistically expect Graham to be, assuming that he gets some development, but may not necessarily hit all the beats that he would need to hit in order to get the most out of his talent level. And that for me was Christian Covington. Covington was originally a 6th-round pick out of Rice with the Houston Texans back in 2015. He formed a very valuable depth player in his early years in Houston, was very productive when injuries sort of forced him into the lineup, whether that was to someone like J.J. Watt or he was sort of giving Vince Wilfork, their nose tackle back then, a breather. The thing that really hurt Covington was in his third season, he missed half the season with a torn bicep when he was sort of really starting to come into his own. He did bounce back somewhat the following year and had a career high 3.5 sacks as a backup. Then he hit free agency in 2019, and I personally saw him as one of those hidden gems, seeing what he had done the two previous years. And if someone could sort of give him an expanded role, and you could sort of get what you saw from him in both 2017 and 2018, his final 2 years in Houston, and sort of get that in a more expanded role, I could see him as a competent starter for a team, a low-level starter for a team. And he wound up signing with the Cowboys in 2019 once he hit free agency and just really didn't live up to those expectations that I had for him with that sort of expanded role in Dallas, and wound up signing last year in 2020 with the Broncos during free agency, but then was traded at the end of training camp to the Bengals and, you know, spent 2020 in Cincinnati, and then signed this past offseason about a month ago with the Chargers. And so despite that earlier promise that he showed in his career, Covington has basically settled into a journeyman type of player that can be a pretty solid to decent rotational player. And I think Graham, like Covington, is probably not a player that's going to give you a ton of production as a pass rusher. Again, Covington had that 1 3.5 sack season in 2018, but across the other 5 seasons he played in the NFL, he's only had a total of 5 sacks, so averaging about 1 sack a year. And Covington's not necessarily a big-time disruptor. He has about 15 tackles for loss in 6 years, but really has more that ability to be more stout at the point of attack due to his strength and power, and that's typically how he wins. But this is the eye level for Graham, because while like Covington, I think Graham can be a really reliable rotational player for a team like the Falcons that drafts him, if and when he does eventually hit the free agent market, I don't know if he's going to offer a ton of upside as a pass rusher, a ton of value there, and it's going to be hard for him to stick anywhere, and he may be forced to become a journeyman player that kind of bounces around the NFL. You know, it goes back to what I've already said already, you know, run defenders are a dime a dozen, I guess, you know, hashtag it or whatever. I'm overusing that phrase, but that's how the NFL treats them. And, you know, immediately after the draft, I think I talked about something along the lines of looking at data from past research. You know, when you look at draft picks 5 years in, only about 55% of the players drafted still play in the league. And when I was projecting the 9 Falcon players based off of that average, that would mean roughly 5 of these guys, you know, by the time we get to, say, 2026, are going to still be, you know, playing in the NFL. And I didn't necessarily list Graham as one of the guys that I thought was one of the better bets to be one of those 5 players. And that was mainly due to the notion about run defenders being expendable and replacement. And again, it's not because Graham lacks the talent. He just strikes me as a player similar to Kaminsky in terms of a draft prospect, which is a player that a team like the Falcons would probably draft on day 3, like every other draft, taking, you know, sort of a guy that has some upside, some of that athleticism that guys like Kaminsky and Graham have, but maybe a little bit raw, and you just hope that you can sort of develop something in that. But those guys aren't necessarily super rare, and you can kind of have a revolving door of those guys coming in and out. And if one of them does wind up developing and living up to their potential and becoming more of that 3-down player and pass rusher, you know, like say like every, you know, one out of three of those guys that you take, you know, then you could potentially give that guy a second contract. But the others, you're just going to push aside because there's going to be another younger, cheaper guy coming in, you know, the next year or the year after or whatever the case may be. And, you know, maybe someone like Kaminsky or Graham does wind up signing a second contract with another team. And you get back like a sixth or seventh round pick as a compensatory pick. And if you're using, say, like fifth round picks or later, like we did with Graham, and then 5 years later, you're getting like a seventh round pick back while getting 4 years of competent play as a good role player, you know, that's a pretty good trade-off. And, you know, while that wasn't the specific application for this team, that was sort of a foundational principle to how the Ravens approached their draft and mastered for years and years under Ozzie Newsome. And that sort of allows you to have that sort of sustainable success because you can relatively easily replenish your talent level because, you know, part of the Ravens strategy is getting more bites of the apple because they're getting those comp picks and constantly being able to draft 9, 10, 11 players every year. So they're getting more at bats and more swings to get more hits on there. And so, again, I think while Graham certainly has the ability, I wouldn't necessarily be he wouldn't be the guy that I would necessarily bet on to be sort of the exception, to be one of those guys that proves to be the keeper as opposed to the guy that you kind of let walk out the door. So it's kind of like you just kind of rent him for 3 or 4 years and then you kind of move on. And that's a very similar dynamic to what we've seen over the last couple of years with, say, Deidre Sinnott. But obviously you hope in Graham's case, he gets a lot more opportunities to get on the field to prove if he can be more of that keeper than what we have seen the last couple of years with Sinnott. So obviously we're going to see what happens. And I think it's going to be interesting to sort of see what happens with Graham, because you could somewhat use it as a litmus test for the Falcons' new defensive line coach in Gary Manuel to see if he can develop a relatively raw player like Graham, which is not something that we know the Falcons have had a ton of success doing, particularly on the defensive line over, you know, however many years you want to say, certainly over the last decade. And so while I won't completely write off Graham, because you may have a situation with this new coaching staff where they're going to have a higher hit rate on developing those types of players than at least people in my many years of experience has taught me tend to have a relatively low batting average, at least NFL teams on average tend to have a low batting average. So, you know, 20 years of evaluating players has taught me that that hit rate on those types of players and the types of players like Graham turning into pass rushers and three down players is relatively low. And let's say like 20 to 25% just to make up a number, but maybe this coaching staff is good enough to raise that number to 40 to 50% by taking players like Graham. So that's going to be interesting to see. And obviously we'll find out. We'll all be watching closely to see where Graham develops and what he can do in the future. But certainly I think he can be a valuable rotational player that does have some upside, but we may not see it really manifest itself until a couple of years down the road. So there you guys have my Taquan Graham scouting report. And obviously we have another potential pass rusher in Ade Ogundeji coming up next, and we'll get to that at some point next week, hopefully early in the week. You know, and this is how we close out this week. And I think right now, Monday, the current plan that I have is to talk about maybe some of the ways that the Falcons can adapt to life without Julio Jones. I know I've touched upon this subject before. But, you know, one of the things I'm going to try to do over this weekend is go and watch some film to see if I can find some inspiration that maybe Arthur Smith will borrow from in order to sort of compensate for the loss of Julio Jones, and maybe some ways, you know, schematically that he might wind up leaning on. So that's currently my plan for Monday's episode, but we'll see how that goes. And, you know, before we duck out of here, guys, make sure that you guys are all caught up on all the sports news that you need every morning in under 20 minutes by checking out the Locked On Today podcast. It's got everything covered from all the sports, NBA, NHL, etc. You can subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have any questions, comments, feedback that you want to provide me on anything I talked about on today's episode, anything I've talked about on previous episodes, or anything you want me to talk about in future episodes, of course, you can hit me up on Twitter at Locked On Falcons, on Facebook at Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Certainly, as we get into the next month or so of the offseason, and certainly once we get through these Scouting reports, and this is part of the reason why I kind of drag these things out so I can have content during this dead time of the off season. But we will certainly have plenty of opportunities for future Q&A. So if you guys have any questions, obviously send them in as soon as you can, and we'll get to those eventually. So by all means, guys, have a great weekend. Until then.